You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
While you were skipping stones, building forts, and flying kites, I was missing school and all my Saturday nights. Other kids were climbing trees and rolling down hills. I was singing songs to pay my family's bills. Little me, growing up Broadway. Little me.
Hello, welcome back to Little Me Growing Up Broadway with me, Mark Tuminelli. My guest today shot to national stardom when he appeared on season 14 of America's Got Talent. After a show-stopping performance, he received the Golden Buzzer, sending him straight to the quarterfinals, as well as viral acclaim. Following his success on AGT, he made his professional acting debut as the series regular on Disney Plus series The Mighty Ducks, Game Changers. He starred in the Netflix musical movie 13, The Musical. This summer, he could be seen playing the role of Christopher L. in the very anticipated theater film, Theater Camp, starring Ben Platt. And next up, you can see him starring as Bobby Strong in the Broadway Workshop Project Broadway's main stage production of You're in Town, directed by me. Please welcome Luke Islam. Hi, Luke.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I've known you from the beginning, and I'll never forget you coming into a workshop and belting your face off. And I was like, this kid is a huge star. Was that Lindsay Mendez's workshop? Is that your first one?
No, I think my first one was Howard Meltzer.
Oh God, Howard Meltzer. TV casting director, Howard Meltzer. Yeah. Okay. So when did you realize that you had this sort of special spark and you needed to like seek out opportunities outside of like your own community?
Well, when I was really little, I always wanted to be on AGT. I was just like a huge fan of the show. And my friend was on it like when I was in like third grade. And she did really well. And she played basketball with my sister. So I was like, oh, maybe I should try auditioning for AGT. And I did not get it at all. I did not even make it past producers round twice.
How old were you then?
I think the first time I auditioned, I was in second grade. And I sang Listen by Beyonce.
Listen.
And it was very awful. But then, you know, after I tried those two times for like a professional career, I kind of like stopped trying. And then this waitress karaoke thing.
Yeah, let's talk about waitress karaoke. Yeah. So the world sort of became aware of you because it kind of explained to the people what waitress karaoke was.
Yeah. So there's this Broadway musical called Waitress.
Well, everybody knows that who listens to this.
A lot of, yeah. And they have this thing afterwards where they invite like fans to come on stage and sing with the band songs from the show. And usually cast members from Waitress host it. And they do it like once every month when it was still on Broadway.
Did you have to like a pre-audition? Like, how do they know you weren't going to be like embarrassing?
Well, actually, it's all random. When you get to the theater, you just put your name on a list and they pick out of a bag on stage. And if you get called up, you do. So
you got called up and Jason Mraz was there.
Yes.
Yes. And someone else from the show too,
and
right?
Tiffany Mann.
Okay. Yeah. Tiffany Mann. Wow. And and then you sang, she used to be my, oh no, you sang,
sang what Bacon Can Do. Yeah.
And everybody lost their mind. Tell me what's going through your mind. Yes. How old are you? So, are you like 11 or 12 then?
I was 12, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, talk to me about it.
So the thing was, like, I was so determined to get on that stage. I wasn't even sitting with anyone. I was sitting alone when they called me my name. I was that like little boy like waiting. And then when they called me up, I didn't know where my mom was. I was just like, I'm going. And then when I got up on stage, I'm like kind of looking for my mom. Like, where is my mom? Like, what if she's like not okay with this? So I was just like, whatever. I'm just going to sing what Bacon Can Do. And it was the most surreal thing. Like, I literally felt like I was on Broadway. Like, there was a band.
Well, you were. Playing. You were standing on Broadway with the band from Waitress, standing center stage, singing What Bacon Could Do. If you've not seen that clip, and it's gone viral. So you can watch it on YouTube right now, but it is unbelievable. But from the second you open your mouth, the audience goes nuts. Like, they just expecting that voice out of you, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I was so little that they weren't expecting that I could, like, actually sing the song, but... hopefully I think it went very well because that's how I actually got on AGT. Like, it
was, so how did those things connect to each other?
Because, okay. So basically in the comment section is where this happens. Because the producer
is a very dangerous section for you to be reading in general.
I know. Well, like, look, like Beyonce said, don't read the comments, but when you're not her, you have to for this reason. She said that, but like, no, because I read it and there was this producer from AGT who I'm like very good friends with now, obviously, but he was like, you know, we cast this show called America's Got Talent, which, you know
obviously knew about.
So I was like, he was like, give me your mom's email. And I was like, here it is. Like, and I think I gave him her phone number too in the comment section. So anybody.
This episode is called comment section.
Keep yes. Going. And so, yeah. And then they started emailing my parents being like, you know, about this opportunity. And they didn't think it was real at first. So.
Well, it could be really shady. Like,
yeah, it was a little strange. So at first they were like, this isn't real, Luke, don't get too excited. And then when it was real and they kept asking me to send in some more videos of me singing, and then I ended up coming in for like the auditions that I had always went to, like the open calls. But this time I was pulled to the front of the line and I was in a room. So I was like, ooh, this is real. And then after that, they said that they loved me. And then I just kept sending more videos. And then they were like, we don't know because we have too many little boy pop singers. So I don't think this is like, you know, you might not get aired. And then I was like, I want to get aired.
Yeah, duh.
So I was like, what can I do? And they were like, do you like singing anything else? And I was like, well, I love Broadway. I mean, like, that's my thing. And they were like, oh my God, no, like, you can't do that. Like, we don't, that's not going to sell. And I was like, okay. But then they were like, wait, what if they like, you know, what if that's your thing? Like your main thing. And I was like, yeah, I don't have a sob story. So that could be.
Yeah, it has to be it.
And then, yeah, that's what we went with. And then I started sending videos like She Used to Be Mine and like Waiting for Life and just like trying to find the right song.
And so did they tell you like, we want you to do the show. We want you to sing She Used to Be Mine on the actual TV show.
Yeah. And then when they called me when it was getting closer and they were like, you're going to audition in person for like the judges and we're going to fly you out like
crazy
next weekend. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and I knew that there was a possibility that I wouldn't get aired, but I did not care. I was like,
of course,
whatever happens, happens. And that's why I'm saying like AGT, as much as like, there are rumors. It's not scripted because there's no way in hell that I thought I was getting that golden.
Yeah.
Ball. Like,
okay. So you perform, you do She Used to Be Mine. It's like the greatest performance ever at AGT. Everyone loses their mind. And then tell me what you're feeling like the second it's over. Like, did you feel good about it in the moment?
Mm-hmm. Honestly,
like you can hear your voice. You like, you know, you're good.
No, because I had to take some things. I wasn't really feeling good that day. I just remember being like, oh no. So I was really nervous anyways. And then when I got on stage, I was so emotional. Like even before I started singing, like, and you can clearly see it in the video.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
I just was so like losing my mind to the point where like, I was like, I don't even care how I sound like this. I made it just talking to them. So no, I wasn't expecting anything. And then when that happened, I literally lost my mind. Cause I was also the first golden buzzer.
First golden buzzer. So Julianne Hough gives you the golden buzzer and then confetti comes down and you're on the floor. And what is the first thing that goes through your mind as like a kid having this experience?
The first thing that goes through my mind is like, what is this going to do to me? Like, yeah. I was like, what's going to happen after this? Like, I was like, I don't know. Like, I guess I was kind of like, what does this mean really? Cause once I left the auditorium, it's like everything went back to normal, but I'm like, I know it's going to air sooner or later. And then things are going to start getting weird. So I was just kind of thinking about all that.
And you were doing Shrek with us at the time, right? A Priory Workshop.
I was.
So this is a funny story I tell all the time, but now I'll tell it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So your dad calls me, and every time I get a call from a parent during production, I'm like, this is normally bad news for me and good news for them. And so your dad called me and said, I just want to tell you, Luke got the golden buzzer, but you can't tell anyone. But wait, I don't watch America's Got Talent, so I have no idea what that meant. I was like, great. Can he be in the show or not? Like, I had no excitement about it, as I didn't know what it meant. It's like, yes, he could still be in the show, but just so you know, I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I don't care. That's cool. And then, of course, I had no idea what a big deal it was. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling someone, I was like, oh, Luke, that great kid, he's got the golden buzzer. And people were like, that's a very big deal, Mark. And so I'm sure for you, you knew what a big deal it was. So you had to be a regular kid before you could go back to do America's Got Talent again, right? So what
I told all my friends.
Yes, of course. Tell us.
I told all my friends immediately. I was like, guys, I did it. Like, and I remember someone leaked it on Instagram, and there was like,
it wasn't me, I swear.
And there was like a picture of me. And I was just like, you know, I was telling all my friends, and I was also kind of like, then again, I was also like, what if this show is fake and she gives like 3 golden buzzers? And you know what I mean?
Yeah, just never know.
You never know. So once that happened and I wasn't going back for judge cuts, I was a little worried because you skip around. So it's good because you don't have to worry about being eliminated. But it's also like, what if people are like, who is this kid? Like, if they forget about my audition. So then it was me being like, when I come back, I have to be 10 times better. And I have to like think about what I'm going to sing. Am I going to change it now, or am I going to keep going Broadway? Then we did this like You Will Be Found arrangement. That was so fun.
Was that your choice? How did you decide to do Dear Evan Hansen?
Well, a lot of it really isn't my choice. I can give a lot of input and like suggestions. And the music team is very, very open. And they're wonderful. But ultimately, the song that you choose like is not fully your decision.
Yeah.
So I was like,
would you have done something different if you had full reign?
I don't think I would have done anything different that round, because You Will Be Found was great, but Never Enough was the next song I sang the next round. And like, I think I may have sang something like a little bit different, just because like, I don't know. I wanted to sing something upbeat. I did too many ballads, I feel like. And it's the audience is looking for something.
And you were showing kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, was there something you were fighting for that you were like, I think this might be a better choice? Or when you're that little, I imagine you're just sort of like.
Yeah, actually there was. They changed it to Never Enough last second. I was originally supposed to do The Impossible Dream.
Ooh. Also a ballad, but.
Yeah, also a ballad. But I was going to do like the Cynthia Erivo version.
Yes.
It was fun. And or like Bring Him Home, I think, was also an option. But
all ballads. Yeah,
it's all just, you know.
So when you get after that high, I want to talk about two things. The night the Golden Buzzer aired for you must have been a wild change. Like from day to night, all of a sudden, everybody knows who you are, because not only are you on a show that people are watching, but you're on a moment that kind of went very viral. So people who weren't watching America's Got Talent still saw it. So I'm sure your whole world changed after that first performance.
Yeah, it was wild.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So when, the night that it aired, I remember I had a big party and I had all my friends over and I wasn't really on my phone. So I was just kind of watching it with them and enjoying the moment. So nothing that night really happened. But then the next morning I woke up and my phone had like 20,000 followers. And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, and then I also see all these things like, these like memes, like why is he on the floor? Why is he crying? So it's just like so many different reactions at once. And I'm kind of like, okay, this is great. And then I, at that point, I think I realized like, I love this. Like, I want to be, I don't know what I want to be, like an actor, a singer, but I just want to be a performer. Cause like, this is really fun. Like, and the thing that I could go back and tell myself is like, it's really nice to have a lot of attention on you at the moment, but it doesn't last. Like you know what I mean? Like when people have their big moments, you know, that you have them, but it's just a moment. So I think I would go back and tell myself to like, just bask in it more and enjoy everything that's happened to me and be more grateful, because it all happened so fast to the point where like, I was so little, I barely even, I can't tell
you. Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Because
it was like a flash. When you get eliminated from something like that, where you know, a lot of eyes are on you, you know, you're essentially like the golden boy of this show. And then when it doesn't feel like it's worked out or you got eliminated, how hard was that for you to sort of handle?
It was very hard for me. Like, I was really upset. I wasn't really upset with the show at all or none of that. I was kind of just like sad that it was over. That's really the only thing, because I had made such good friends, and this is very cliche, like, oh, I'm going to miss the people, but it's true. Like with everything I do now, it's just like the people, and it's those connections you make. That's kind of like, oh, that's what you kind of get adapted to and used to. And then when you have to go, that's like the hardest part, is saying goodbye to everyone. So I was also kind of worried, like what happens next, because being an actor at that point was not in the picture at all. Like, so I was,
were you getting offers about like making a record, or were there people like contacting your family and you and your management about doing what happened with those things?
Well, I actually didn't have a manager at that point, or any representation or nothing. So I was getting a bunch of these like emails, like, oh, are you looking for a manager? But I was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't like understand that, like how the whole entertainment industry worked at all. So I let it all just sit there in my emails. Like, what is this? I don't need that. I don't need a manager. What's that? Like, wild. Like, and yeah. And then the more I showed my dad this stuff, he's like, no, Luke, you should be sending me these emails. Like, they're important stuff. So, but yeah. And then after, you know, looking at the emails closely with my dad, we didn't really like connect to any of them that reached out. And like, I just didn't feel right. So I waited a little bit, and I'm pretty glad I did, because then AGT reached out and they were like, hey, we do this show called AGT The Champions, where we have—
that's my next thing to talk about.
Yeah.
So you get invited back for AGT Champions. Tell me about that pressure, sort of going back into it, knowing what you knew from the first time.
Yeah. Well, see, the second time going back, it was a mess. It was just a mess, because I wasn't supposed to be there. I was a semi-finalist, not a finalist. So I wasn't really eligible, but someone dropped out of the show. So they called me and I was like, oh, what is this? This is cool. But I was literally just on it a month ago because they filmed it a month later.
Got it.
So I was like, I don't really know if this is the best decision for me right now, but I don't have anything else. So let's do it. So I went into it, and immediately when we were talking music, we were like, they were like, you should switch it up because you don't want to go in with the same thing. And I'm like, I agree, but I also don't want to do anything that's out of my comfort zone completely, which would mean learning a new song. And that's exactly what I did. I learned a new song by Celine Dion that I've never heard in my life. And I was like, because they recommended it to me, and it was beautiful. It was a great song. The arrangement was nice. It just, it wasn't good enough. It just truly wasn't. I had so much better options that we were given to. But
and then Simon said you chose the wrong song, which if you were already feeling that way and then that's the response, I'm sure in that moment you were like, oh Lord.
Well, also in that moment, I was just like, how do I say that I didn't want to pick that song? Like, because he literally asked me why I picked it. So it's like, it's things like that where I just realized, like, dang, like, this just feels really horrible because I went home the next day.
Ugh, so, bummer. But things looked up for you because not long after, then did Shrek happen after all of this or was like in between it?
Shrek happened in between my audition. No, Shrek happened in between my audition and it actually airing.
Got it. Yeah. Well, you were brilliant. As Donkey and our
Thank
Shrek.
You. Thank you.
Great performance. But you start working with our buddy, John Mara, who we love.
Yes.
And eventually you book a very big TV show, which is this remount of The Mighty Ducks. Were you familiar with the movie that like I grew up not watching because it was about hockey? But it was a very big deal for boys my age, just not this
No. I was familiar. With the first movie that I was forced to watch in health class, but
wait, why did you watch it in health class?
I don't know. Everyone always asks me that, and I'm like, I don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just a weird choice.
Okay.
But no, I wasn't really very familiar with it, but I did kind of understand how much of a big deal it was that they were rebooting something from like so long ago that so many people love.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is crazy. And I also got the, John talked about it with me at our very first meeting. He was like, also, before I send you home, I just want to tell you, like, you want to get started right now. There's this pilot and they've been looking for someone to play Coop. And I just feel like you'd be so good. Like, should I send you in tomorrow? Like, and I was like, what? Like,
and you booked it.
And I literally booked it. It was so fast and crazy. But
okay, so how wild, being this Broadway kid who really knows theater and is obsessed with theater and obsessed with singers, to change the total game to start doing film and TV, which is just a totally different animal. How fast did you learn? How stressed out were you on your first couple of days on set? Talk to me about that.
Well, at first the auditions, it was very clear I was a theater actor. Because the only notes I was given was deadpan, more calm down, be less chill. So I knew I had to, it was a big change, but I loved it. I remember the second I was on my first day, I was like, I literally feel like I'm at like camp because everything is on a schedule and there's like people taking me where I need to go. Like, what is happening? Like I'm getting talked to about costumes. Like, it's just all so, so weird and so different. So I'm like, this is a really cool experience. It was a little weird at first because with the whole camera, like I didn't realize how long it takes for scenes to be filmed.
Oh my God, like, it takes forever.
Yeah. And also since my show was a hockey show, we had to do 2 weeks of hockey training before we even started doing fittings or anything like that. So I couldn't learn. I literally could not learn. Like when I tell you I was there every day trying, I didn't learn. They had to put me in boots because I literally could not learn. Like it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, skating. I can't. So that was one of the hard parts.
Can you still not skate?
No.
At 20 episodes, still can't skate. Okay. No.
Not at all. Like, I could, if I tried now, I think I'd just fall on my face. Like,
did you learn a lot about hockey? Like, are you like, yeah, know a lot about hockey?
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, like, they were like, you don't have to skate because you're the goalie, but
great,
learn the hand movements and stuff and you'll be fine. So in the first episode, in the pilot, I did actually skate, but it's fine because we had to be bad. And there's this like one take where I fell and they used it.
Great.
And then after that, they were like, no, but they gave me training. So I learned all the goalie stuff. I didn't really learn much of it in season one because we weren't supposed to be good. But for season two, when we had to be good, we were all training in the beginning because it'd been like a year and a half since we filmed. So it was all just stress, boot camp, like all that stuff. And I loved it the second time around. I think, yeah, I was too young the first time.
Makes sense.
And like couldn't handle it. But the second time, it was so challenging. And after doing 13, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
We're going to get to 13. So you shot season one of Mighty Ducks, then did 13, and then shot season two of, yes, Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
Great.
So after doing the dancing, my body felt warmed up.
After your summer break of 13, you were ready to conquer all the,
I was ready to conquer anything.
Great. To just sort of kind of put a bow on the Mighty Ducks experience before we talk about 13, they let you sing on that show. Was that something that you anticipated having, happen?
Not at all. It was so weird also, 'cause the first time I sang I Dreamed a Dream.
Yeah, I watched it this morning in preparation for
so I was like, that's so, like, they clearly wrote that in for me, which is so wonderful, because I always was like, when am I gonna get to sing, am I gonna get to sing? And then it being a theater song was just like perfect. And then in the second season, I did not know Landslide at all. Uh-huh. Which is so strange.
It's a that, great, like, song that you should know. So
I know, like, now I love it because I had to listen to it like 30 million times. But yeah, no, I didn't know it. So it was kind of nice to have like a song that I was very overly familiar with, and then one I didn't know at all.
Yeah.
So it was a good combination.
And that whole experience was pretty positive, you would say, like to have your first TV experience, yeah, be for Disney Plus and be kind of a Disney, yeah, kid. Like, I'm sure that was, well, felt really cool.
Definitely the first season for us was nowhere near easy, because we picked up in August of 2020 after filming the pilot. So we were right in the height of COVID, and like everyone was just kind of on their toes. It was like a pretty long process that time. But the second time we came back strong and had a more like clear setup of what we were doing, and then everything felt like a nice finale.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Let's talk about 13. So were you very obsessed with the musical? Did you know the musical? Had you been in it before you shot the movie?
No, but I've always wanted to be, and I'm obsessed with it still. Right. I love Ariana. She's like literally
she's your queen. She's your cell phone. She's your whole identity.
My whole personality. So I was like, when they announced it was becoming a film, I was like, I need to be in this. I don't know how, but I need to be in it. So I ran and told John, like, they're making this a movie. What? Can I audition? And this was right as soon as I got home from the pilot. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went in, I sang For Forever, my 16 bar cut. Just for a general, like I wasn't trying to audition for a lead or anything. But then COVID happened and this movie kind of got on a shutdown.
Yeah.
And then when I was filming season one, I still didn't hear literally anything for months until November of 2020 after auditioning in February. And I heard that they wanted me to have a callback for this character named Malcolm. And I was like, oh my God. Like, that's when I started like freaking out, because this was my first ever like callback, I think, besides Coop. So I was like, oh my God, like, this is really cool. I love this movie. And I read the sides, I sang a song, still didn't hear anything until the end of the year when they did this like dance callback. And then that's when I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I saw the choreo and was like, I can't do this. But apparently I was good. And
did they write Carlos for you, or was that always in the script?
It was always some variation of Carlos, but it wasn't Carlos. And the reason why it was Carlos is because I didn't get the part originally. Like, that's why this story is so weird, because I did the screen test and everything after that dance callback and I didn't get it. So
you got a call from John that was like, hey, it's not going your way. You didn't get 13. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Say more. Then what happened?
It was not a dime. And then I think a month and a half later, I was on my way to Hawaii just for fun.
Great. Love it.
And then I get a call from John and he's like, hey, Luke. And I'm like, hi. And I was on hiatus. So I was like, really on my toes, like, what's going on? And then he was like, Jason Robert Brown just called me. And I was like, why? Like, what? And then he was like, he called me and says that they have a role for you and that they really want you to be in this movie. And it's a different deal, but they just want you in it, period. Like, will you do it? And I was like, will I do it? Of course I will do it.
Duh,
and there was this description of the character, just a lie. Like, the character just was not what I was told at all, but I didn't care at all.
Yeah, you're like, that. I'll be in Canada tomorrow. Just let's go.
So
yeah.
They casted the whole thing. I was the last one. And all the kids told me that too. They were like, one day we just looked at the call sheet and saw your name and freaked out. Because apparently they knew me. So I was like, oh, this is so weird. Like, I'm going to cry. And then when I got there, I had to quarantine for 17 days because it was even worse.
You shot the summer of 21. We had just finished the Nate movie. And you guys started literally, no, we've shot it here, but you guys started the week we were finished or something, because I was maybe going to work. It's a whole other story, but I was well aware of like your production schedule. And I was like, this is going to be hard.
Yeah. So we were in the height of like COVID in Toronto, and it was like a stay at home order. So every single day we rehearsed for 2 months, we had to wear a K95, like a face shield, while dancing for hours. Yep. And I am not a dancer. I wouldn't even call myself a strong mover, maybe a mover. So I was like, what am I going to do here? And it took a lot of motivation, but because of how wonderful our choreographers were, I picked it up super fast because everyone had already been like learning the music, the dances. I came in late. I was like, oh no. And then everything went so wonderfully. Like, the movie, it was such a good time. It was so fun and like different from anything I'd ever done. I've been doing like hockey, and that's not my like true passion.
Yeah, you know? Of course. But like, to be in a movie musical, it's like a very big deal. What was your experience like working with Jason?
Oh my God, he was so great. And I remember just when I first met him on the Zoom, he was telling me that people were like telling him to check me out and stuff and like listen to my voice. So I was freaking out about that for days. And then when I met him in person and in Georgia, who I'm sure you know.
Yeah, of course.
Who are just wonderful and the most talented. And they were hard at work because they were writing so many new songs for the movie and like changing a bunch of things because we had to make it like PG-ified. Uh-huh. And then, also Tamra, who's just wonderful, was so great in like giving us, like she met with all of us privately and was like talking to us about the movie and just like the whole exposition and everything. So it was so much more comfortable for me having a team that was knowing that this was probably like a lot of our first times being on a set and like,
yeah,
doing this thing. So
Was there anything you were sad? There's like a bunch of songs that are cut for the movie. Is there anything that like makes you super sad that's not in the movie?
I was dying for It Can't Be True to be in the movie.
I know, right?
I love that. And I think it would fit really well. Although I do agree with a lot of the musical cuts that they made.
Yeah.
Because of making it a film. I don't agree with. I need that song.
Okay, we'll put it in the revival. Yeah. You're great in it, and it's a really good time. We have to talk about your upcoming movie Theater Camp, which I think is going to be like a very, very big deal. And the other day at rehearsal, you said like, I'm just like very excited about it because of your excitement, you know. The way that you're talking about the movie is making me feel like we're in for quite a treat. So what can you tell us about this Noah Galvin, Ben Platt film that's directed by who's directing your movie?
Molly Gordon.
Yes. And I'm obsessed with her from Good Boys. Have you ever seen that movie?
Of course I've seen Good Boys. My best friend was Thor.
Oh, okay. Good Boys is the greatest movie. Like I have the funniest movie. If you're not seeing Good Boys, stop what you're doing. Watch Good Boys. Okay. So tell us what you can about this movie. What can we expect, especially for the theater kids listening?
What I can say is that this movie is, we all filmed it thinking it was going to be funny, right? We knew it was going to be funny, but it just came out like 10 times more hilarious and so just silly. And you just, every single person in this film is having so much fun on screen. And I think that's just the best part, is that everyone, this movie was in the works for so long with Ben and Noah and them. So, and all the cast knew that. So we were like, we got to give this our all. And you can really feel everyone, like, it feels like camp. It's just, one of the best things about it is that it's a mockumentary. So, it's very like seriously unserious. And there are definitely some scary and serious topics in it, such as death and a coma.
All right.
Because the movie's about how the woman who runs this camp falls into a coma and her son has to run it. And he is some crypto bro dude who's played by the wonderful Jimmy Tatro. He's just ridiculously funny. And
now Amy Sedaris is in this movie as
well.
Oh my
god, yes.
Now, Luke, you don't understand. Joan.
She's the one who falls into a coma.
My obsession with Amy Sedaris is like 10 out of 10. And I'm so supremely jealous that you were in a movie with her.
I didn't meet her.
Oh well. But you guys did Sundance and the movie like was like, everyone talked about it at Sundance. Who was there? What was Sundance like?
Sundance was so great because it was the first time I got to see the movie. So, oh my God. Okay. Yeah, I can't say that, but I just thought we'll something.
Save it for after the pod.
I can't say is musically, there are a lot of things I'm excited for.
Okay. About,
because I can't say who, but there are just some great moments. And Ben, it's so weird because it's original, but it almost feels like, how did these people come up with this story? Like it's just, it's so, you, because it's real. They all went to camp and it's kind of just their story. And because it's their story, they felt more connected to it. I could tell. So they made it, they made it that experience for us too. And like, one of the things I can say is Ben in this movie, I have always been a Ben Platt fan, but like he kills it.
This is it. I'm very excited. I can't wait for it. When is this movie out? Do you know?
I think summer? July 14th.
Okay.
July. Yeah.
Summer. It's going to be a hot camp summer.
I can't wait.
It's going to be huge. You must feel so much more centered, like on set now, having done 20 episodes of Mighty Ducks, all of this America's Got Talent, a feature, you know, Netflix film. When you like sort of entered the world for theater camp, you had to have felt so different about who you are and what you know you can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Also something that I want to note is like, I filmed theater camp the day after I wrapped season 2. Okay. So I literally got on a plane, and thank God I did, because I felt so in the process of filming that I was like so ready for it. I didn't need a plane. And I feel like if I did take a break, then I would have been like out of it. So I'm really glad that I didn't. And yeah, I felt so comfortable. Also, like, I was the biggest Ben Platt fan like ever. Like, it was not okay. So going into this experience, I was the most nervous I've ever been for anything. Wow. Because I was like, this man is so talented. Like, what am I, how am I in a movie with him? Like, you know, when you like meet your like biggest like celebrity, it's
that. You're also not meeting him. You're not meeting him at the stage or you're doing.
I know.
It's like you're ultimately, I mean, yes, he's probably first on the call sheet, but you know, you're, it's not like, oh, I went to a fan autograph signing. Like you are an actor in a film with him. Like you should be, it's amazing what you've done. And now you're sort of like coming back to the theater via Broadway Workshop, Project Broadway, and you're in town playing Bobby Strong. And I can tell you, listeners, that Luke is giving one hell of a performance. I cry laughing. You're so funny. And obviously you sing like a dream in the show. How does it feel to sort of come back to theater in this way that does feel like with your peers? You know, obviously you have this very big career. You could be doing anything, but you're sort of choosing to do this, which warms my heart and soul. And I love having you here, but sort of tell me about the thought process of like, oh yeah, I'll do that. Like,
First of all, Broadway Workshop is just the greatest. I like, not only is it fun, but it's just so real. And it's like, you're like, it's just so real. Cause it's like, it really does prepare you for the real deal. Like every time I come to rehearsal, I feel like I'm scared of Mark. I'm going to know my stuff and I'm going to be good. So it's that kind of thing. It's like, I do want to have fun when I do theater and I do want to have great friends and nice people to guide me along the way. But I also want to do a show that has a strong foundation and a strong team. So.
Well, we're delivering it and you are, it's going to be really great.
Oh yeah.
What are you most excited to do in the show? Like, what song are you most excited to like tear apart with those vocals?
I think I'm really excited for Run Freedom Run because I haven't like riffed like that in a minute. So I can't wait.
Well, it's going to be brilliant. So people should come see you when you're in town. You're in cast B, but you can come see any cast, but come see Luke in his cast B performances of You're in Town. And you can get tickets at BroadwayWorkshop.com/tickets. You truly do not disappoint. And I'm so, so proud to have you back at Broadway Workshop.
Thank you.
Center stage in You're in Town. It's been like such a dream. All right. We have to do quick fire questions, but I have one more big question for you. You have become sort of a fashion icon, young Hollywood fashion icon. You're serving unbelievable looks on the red carpets of all of these shows and Kids' Choice Awards and award ceremonies and things like that. Where does this style like fire come from? And how do you find it for each of these events? You keep topping yourself. It's so cool to watch.
Thank you. I think I knew that I was going to want to like make a statement on the carpet. Like, after I finished, theater camp, I was like, because theater camp was the first time I was doing a queer role. And obviously as a queer actor, it meant a lot to me that I like saw so much of myself in that part. And I spent a lot of time worrying about that in the industry. Like even when I was auditioning for Christopher, I was like, do I really care about what this is going to do to my career? Like, not at all. Like, yeah. Because this is me. Like, and that's what I had to sit up down for myself a long time with. Like, I don't care that people know, like, who I really am.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I have to stop worrying about that kind of stuff. And it's so stupid and horrible that I have to even worry about it to begin with. Because no one should have to worry about that. Like, so once I figured that out with myself and felt comfortable, you know, with that like kind of relationship with my family, like yeah. filling them all in on me, which I'm sure it wasn't hard to guess. I was like,
felt a freedom that you could design and play and come up with things. And I'm sure you must hear from young people all the time that are like, thank you for being your full self because it gives me confidence to be mine, you know?
Yes. Honestly, sure I do hear that must feel great. I hear that from a lot of young people who it's mostly like young people around my age who are like part of the LGBT community. And it's so great because it's like, this is why I started doing it, to kind of just let everyone know, like, come on, like serve, like if you want to serve, like.
And when you are your most full self, I think that is when you find the most success, because people want to write things for you and create things for you. And you're not just stepping into someone else's part. Like you are creating your own thing. I mean, your Bobby is so different than our other Bobby, and they're both magical. So I can't even imagine like you and where your career is going to go, and the things that people are going to create for you is going to be remarkable. You are such an unbelievable, talented human. And we're so glad to have you on the earth doing your thing. All right. Are you ready for Broadway Workshop quickfire questions?
Yes.
Okay. What was your first audition song?
The Lamest Place in the World from 13.
All right. First Broadway show you saw?
Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Oh my God. That's wild. Current Broadway obsession?
Parade.
Yeah. Ben, Mr. Ben Platt and Michaela Diamond. We can't lose. Mm-hmm. What was the last Broadway show you saw?
Kimberly Akimbo.
Do you love?
Love. I've seen it 3 times now.
I'm obsessed with it too. I think it's so good. Have you seen Leah in Funny Girl?
No. I've seen Julie. I've seen Beanie.
You gotta see Miss Michelle.
Is it worth it?
I'm gonna tell you, I paid $600. Oh, the most I have ever paid. I went to her first show and I got a house seat. I sat there by myself. There was like a lot of friends around. But like my jaw was under my seat. It's the most thrilling performance I've ever seen in my life. So
I'm going to have to go.
You have to go. Okay. One thing you wish you knew about filming a TV show before you started.
It's very temporary. So enjoy it and give your 100% every day.
Please. Okay. If you could be in any Broadway show, past or present, what would it be?
Mean Girls.
Yeah, right? Oh, killer. Okay. We'll talk about it off mic. What is your Starbucks order?
If I want a refresher, I'm going to get a mango dragon fruit lemonade. But if I want like coffee, I'm going to get a iced white chocolate mocha.
Okay, you heard it here, folks. Can you name 2 Real Housewives?
No, I don't watch the Real Housewives.
That's okay. You're not garbage.
Isn't that horrid?
No, it's fine. what has been your favorite red carpet outfit since you've been red carpeting?
Ooh. Okay. I had my really good friend make me a custom like lavender glitter outfit that I wore to the 13 premiere. And it was this, and it had this gorgeous like pink pearl train. And the like fur around the cuffs. It was lovely.
It was everything. Favorite song to sing when no one's home?
Crazy in Love by Beyonce.
Great. So then you're probably going to have the answer to this question. Who's your pop music obsession?
Beyonce or Ariana.
Yes. Okay, great. Yeah. Okay. One show you're okay with never seeing again.
The Girl from the North Country. Sorry. Sorry, it just wasn't for me.
It just wasn't for you. It's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. A performer you drop everything to see. I think we know the answers to those.
Like a Broadway performer?
Let's go Broadway, not Ben Platt, because we already know you.
Yeah, well, we know that. Honestly, I would pay massive amounts of money to see Shoshana on a stage again, because she's just effervescent.
She is effervescent.
I know.
Did you see her in her last Broadway show?
With
Mr. Saturday
Night. Yes, I did.
She was so good. You are an actress.
I know. I thought her acting especially, I was like, wow.
Well, we did that workshop. You did that workshop that she taught at Broadway Workshop. And yes. I was so blown away by her coaching was all about the acting, because the singing is so easy for her that like she really focuses on the acting. It kind of blew my mind, because you sometimes think people who can sing like that are just focusing on the singing, but in fact, they are not at all.
She can sing anything. It's insane.
All right. Couple more. What is one thing you wish people knew about America's Got Talent?
Ooh, that there's so, like, you don't have to just sing. Like, if you have a talent and you're good at it and you know you're good at it, then try it out.
And
you
do the talent.
Yeah.
What is the best advice you have ever been given?
I think definitely to just kind of like to focus in more, because there have been times where I feel like I know what I'm doing, but because, like, especially when I'm doing a series and it's so long, towards the end I kind of lose motivation. Mm-hmm. And just, I've had a lot of people tell me to focus in and remember what you're doing to begin with, and once I like put it all in perspective and like click into reality, then I'm better.
I think that's a real thing for a lot of people who are doing a lot of episodes of something. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, where are we? What's happening now? And so any way that you can sort of like look inward and go, okay, this is who I am. Yeah. This is the story I'm telling. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's that simple and you get right back in it. Luke, tell the people where they can follow you to see what's up.
You can follow me at The Luke Islam on all socials, and come see You're in Town.
And come see You're in Town and watch Luke in theater camp this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be, that's a full theatrical release, like in the movie theater.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, my first one.
That's a slay. Mm-hmm. Luke, I'm obsessed with you. Thank you for joining us for Little Me Growing Up Broadway. It's been like so fun. Yes.
I'll see you when we return.
You'll see me when we return. Mm-hmm. And you'll see us both. You can come to Your Town and see us both. Because exactly. I will be there. And friends, I will be back in a couple weeks with a new episode. Luke, thank you again. You're the best.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. This podcast is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and the Broadway Podcast Network, and edited by Derek Gunther. For more information on the Little Me podcast, go to bpn.fm/littleme. And follow me on Instagram at Mark Tuminelli or on Twitter at That Tuminelli. And for more information on workshops, classes, and everything Broadway Workshop, go to broadwayworkshop.com. Thank you for listening.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.